Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace at this time. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We know, Father, that you are truly the one true cause. You're the only one, Father, that we can turn to, because it's only through you that we have our opportunity at life everlasting, through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and his shed blood, which cleanses all our sins. All we have to do, Father, is believe. And once we believe, Father, we follow through with the actions of being faithful and keeping your covenant law. We know, Father, that you are real and everything that you do for us. Truly, Father, we humble our hearts before your throne of grace. We come before you rejoicing. And this is the theme of our feast this year, rejoicing before Yahweh, because we want to come before you, Father, and give glory to your holy name. For all that you've done for us, for all that you've done for this ministry, for all that you are doing for our lives. Turn us, Father, inside out. Show us any wicked way that is within us, anything unseemly, that we would get rid of it, so that we can come before you on the Day of Atonement, a pure and a perfect specimen. We know, Father, that our perfection only comes through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, because all of us are sinners. All of us, not one of us, Father, is not a sinner. But we are repentant. We are sorry for our sins, Father. And we ask that you would forgive us and that you would continue to cleanse our lives and wipe away our sins. Because truly we do love you and we thank you for all that Yahshua has done for us. And we ask, Father, that this day the words that have been prepared would find free course in our hearts and that they would cause us to rejoice before you and give glory to your name. So we thank you again, Father, for all you've done for us, our life, health, and strength, and for what you do for us on a daily basis. Again, open the doors and the windows of heaven and bless us and help each one of us not only make it to the feast, but come there rejoicing so that we can truly be your servants. Again, we thank you for the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name, we ask all his favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I see that. I see. Totally lost. Sorry about that. We lost the video, but I think we got it back up at this time. We're now at the Sabbath during the Yamin Narayim, or the Days of Awe. This Sabbath is called Shabbat Shua. It should be one in which we truly humble ourselves before Almighty Yahweh, asking for forgiveness for all our sins, brethren. It is traditionally believed that on Yom Teruah, the Day of Judgment, Almighty Yahweh opens his book to examine our deeds and decides who will live and who will die. The judgment is made on Yom Teruah, but it is sealed on Yom Kippur. So during these 9 days intervening, the 10 days that we have from Yom Teruah, the Day of Trumpets, to the Day of Atonement, we have these 10 days of repentance. It's called in the Hebrew, Azaret, Yemei, Teshuvah. During these days of awe, the days of repentance, we know that Almighty Yahweh is just a righteous El who will reward the righteous and condemn the wicked. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. So that men shall say, truly there is a reward for the righteous. Truly there is an Elohim that judges in the earth. And Yahweh is that mighty one. He's the El that judges in the earth. This message is entitled, That Could Have Been Me. That could have been me. As it said in the song that I was just singing, Yah has smiled on me. But in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1, it says, Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would tear the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles the brushwood, and the fire causes the waters to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries. That the nations may tremble at your presence. The nations will tremble at the presence of Yahweh, brethren. The question is, what about us? We're going through a time period when we should be trembling, when we should be concerned about what's going to happen on the Day of Atonement. Verse 3, it says, When you did terrible things which we looked not for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. For from of old men have not heard, nor perceived by ear, neither has the eye seen an Elohim besides you, who works for him that waits for him. And Yahweh does these things for the people who are waiting for him, who are patiently waiting. You meet him that rejoices and works righteousness. Those that remember you and your ways, behold, you were angry, and we sinned. In them have we been of long time, and shall we be saved? The ones that are going to be saved, brethren, are those who are repentant, those who are sorry for their sins. We have accepted Yahshua the Messiah. He's the one that cleanses each and every one of our sins. For we have become as one that is unclean, and our righteousness are as filthy rags, a polluted garment, and we all fade like as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. And there is no one that calls upon your name. But see, this is our job, brethren. This is what we have to do. We have to take the name of Yahweh and shine it all around and show the world who is the Savior that stirs up himself to take hold of you. For you have hid your face from us and have consumed us by means of our iniquity. Now, when it says that he has consumed us by means of our iniquities, our sins are what separate us from Yahweh. But we are at a point now where we have to separate ourselves from our sins. We have to get rid of them. Verse 8, it says, But now, O Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and we are the work of your hand. Be not angry very much, O Yahweh, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, look, we plead you. We are all your people. Your holy cities have become a wilderness. Zion has become a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Our holy and our beautiful house, where our fathers praise you, is burned with fire. And today it's not there. It doesn't stand. There's no temple there. And all our pleasant places are laid waste. Will you refrain yourself for these things? O Yahweh, will you hold your peace and afflict us beyond measure? The answer is no, brethren. Yahweh is not going to afflict us beyond measure. You know what he's going to do?
No.
He's going to show us his love. He's going to show us that he cares for us. Because he gave us a Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, to cleanse all our sin. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless this holy name. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, all our sins he forgives, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy. And when we think about it, and you can look at some of the things you've done in the past, whether we were young or, you know, just out of our minds and we did some things that we shouldn't have done. And we could have expected to be struck down because the reward for sin is death. But because of our Savior, because of Yahshua the Messiah, we have this opportunity to overcome death. Because Yahshua overcame death. He's the firstborn of the dead. Verse 5 of Psalm 103, it says, who satisfies your desire with good things. We ask Yahweh for certain things. And guess what? He gives us the desires of our heart. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yahweh executes righteous acts and judgments for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his doings to the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, brethren, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. Because if he did, none of us would be alive today. But he's been faithful to us. He's given us many chances to get it right. Think about it. Think about how many times you've sinned against Almighty Yahweh and how many times he's forgiven you. We don't want to make a practice of this, brethren. What we want to do, though, is we want to be faithful in keeping the covenant the best we can. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so Yahweh pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That as parents, when we correct our children, especially those the smaller, the younger ones, you know, we know the older ones know better, but still, the younger ones, they're corrected, but in measure. We don't try to kill them. You know, we correct them, but we have to do it with love. And this is what Yahshua has shown us. And Yahweh has shown us with that same love. In measure, each one of us. Think about how we feel when we've sinned against Almighty Yahweh. And Psalm 103, verse 14, 15. As a man is there. days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place of it shall know it no more. But the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So that means our grandchildren will see the righteousness of Yahweh if we're faithful. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them. Yahweh has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. Bless Yahweh, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless Yahweh, all you his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Yahweh, O my soul. So we have to see, we see this, that Yahweh, his kingdom, his throne is in the heavens, but he also has a throne here on earth. And he has control over all of the beings, the angels, as well as men that walk the earth. Our job is to be faithful in all things that Almighty Yahweh has done for us. Do we believe that Almighty Yahweh rules over all, brethren? That's the question I have for you right now. Remember, this message is entitled, That Could Have Been Me. Because all of us have been given a blessing. We just sometimes don't see the blessing as far as the way it should be seen. I saw on one of the programs, I think it was a CBN program, one of the, they had a young man on there that was born with no arms. And his dad, you know, said when they saw him, you know, it's like his heart sank. But he knew that this was a blessing for him. And he said when his son was about 4 or 5 years old or whatever, all his friends were riding bikes. And he did the modifications that he needed to make on that bike so his son could ride a bike, even with no arms. And the thing that's so amazing about this young man is that not only has he grown up what we would call normal, as far as his peers are concerned, they overlooked his so-called handicap because he was just as competitive as the rest of them. Yes. And not only that, this young man is so gifted and so talented that he is a designer. He works for a company that makes products for NASCAR, and he works on a computer designing equipment that will help the race drivers get more out of their cars. Now, he does it with his feet. He drives, he does a lot with his mouth, but he drives, he has his own modified car that he built himself. So, you know, when we look at others and say, well, you know, you're kind of looking down on them. This young man doesn't need anybody to feel sorry for him because he's doing very well for himself. He's an example to the people around him of overcoming. See? Here's another one. His name is Nick Rujikin. And he was born over 30 years ago with no arms and no legs. He says, I won't pretend my life is easy, but through the love of my parents, loved ones, and the faith in the Almighty, I have overcome my adversity, and my life is now filled with joy and purpose. I reside now in California with my wife, Kanae, and we both love seeing people's lives change for the better or touched in some way. It is my hope that your life is positively impacted by my story. I saw this on television as well. He says, I was born and raised in Melbourne, Australia, and it was a shock to my parents that I arrived without limbs. There's no medical reason for it. My parents did their very best to keep me in the mainstream school system and give me every opportunity to live to the fullest. I was blessed to have a brother and a sister as my best friends, too. We later moved to Brisbane, Australia, where I lived for 14 years before I made the move to California. At age 8, I could not see a bright future ahead, and I became depressed. When I was 10 years old, I decided to end my life by drowning myself in a bathtub. After a couple of attempts, I realized that I did not want to leave my loved ones with the burden and guilt that would result from my suicide. I could not do that to them. So he was thinking about someone else instead of himself. I wasn't depressed my entire childhood, but I did have ups and downs. At age 13, I hurt my foot. He's talking about his little part that sticks out. He don't really have what he says, foot, which I use for many things like typing, writing, and swimming. That injury made me realize that I need to be more thankful for my abilities and less focused on my disabilities. And this is what I'm trying to bring out, that it could have been me. It could have been any one of us. But we have to be so thankful of what Yahweh has done for us. When I was 15 years old, I sealed my faith in the Almighty, and from there it has been an amazing journey. A janitor at my high school inspired me to start speaking about my faith and overcoming adversity when I was 17. I spoke only a dozen times to very small groups over the next 2 years. Then I found myself in front of 300 sophomores, students. I was very nervous. My knees were shaking. That's supposed to be a joke, I'm sure. Within the first 3 minutes of my talk, half the girls were crying and most of the boys were struggling to hold their emotions together. One girl in particular was sobbing very hard. We all looked at her and she put her hand up. She said, I am so sorry to interrupt, but can I come up and hug you? She came up and hugged me in front of everyone and whispered in my ear, thank you, thank you, thank you. No one has ever told me that they love me and that I am beautiful the way I am. Her gratitude inspired me to go across 44 countries and speak 2,000 times. I realized that we all need love and hope, that I was in a unique position to share that with people around the world. While majoring in both accounting and financial planning at the university, I also worked on developing my abilities as a speaker. I worked with a speaking coach who helped to cultivate me as a presenter. He especially worked on my body language as my hands flew everywhere at first. Remember, he doesn't have hands. As a presenter, he especially worked on my body language because that's important. I think my daughter said it last night, 70% of communication is body. I spoke on motivational topics after creating the company, Attitude is Altitude. I also launched a nonprofit ministry, Life Without Limbs, to spread my message of faith and hope around the world. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you are dealing with, I hope you will be inspired by my story and my message. Please enjoy browsing his website as he shares with everyone his thoughts on faith, hope, and love to encourage you and help everyone overcome your own challenges. Because we all have challenges. But he says, dream big, my friend, and never give up. We all make mistakes, which we do. But none of us are mistakes. Yahweh doesn't make mistakes. Take one day at a time, embrace the positive attitudes, perspectives, principles, and truths that I share, and you too will overcome. Sincerely, Nick. Now, Nick had a lot to overcome in life. But what about us? What do we have to overcome? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. We'll start in verse 1. Since then that the Messiah suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that you should no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of Yahweh. And that's where we overcome this life threat, when we seek the will of Yahweh in our life and not the flesh. For the time past may suffice to have worked the desire of the Gentiles and have walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine drinking, revelings, carousing, and abominable idolatries, in which they think it strange that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. But to this end were the good tidings preached, even to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but live according to Yahweh in the spirit. All men will give an account to Yahweh, brethren. All men. Proverbs chapter 15. We'll start in verse 25. Yahweh will root up the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widows. Evil devices are an abomination to Yahweh, but pleasant words are pure. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates bribes shall live. The heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good tidings make the bones fat. This is the time for us to be praying, because Yahweh will hear our prayers. The ear that listens to reproof of life shall remain among the wise. He that refuses correction despises his own soul, but he that listens to reproof gets understanding. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goes humility. Are we a humble people, brethren? Are we willing to accept correction from Almighty Yahweh? Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4, and we'll read verses 7 through 11. It says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of a sound mind, and be sober to prayer. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sin. I'll read that again. Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covers a multitude of sin. Using hospitality one to another without murmuring, according as each has received the gift, ministering it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold grace of Yahweh. If any man speaking as it were the oracles of Yahweh, if any man ministering as of the strength which Yahweh supplies, that in all things Yahweh may be glorified through Yahshua the Messiah, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Galatians chapter 2. The Galatians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And after the space of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem. With Barnabas, also taking Titus with me. And I went up by revelation, and I laid before them the good tidings which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately before them who were of repute, lest by any means I should be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, he was a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of the false brethren privately brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we had in the Messiah Yahshua, that they might bring us into bondage. See, there was this thing going around by certain of the Jews that had accepted Yahshua, that the Gentiles that came in had to be physically circumcised. And that wasn't true. That's what Acts 15 was all about. They brought it to the apostles and the elders of Jerusalem, and they made a ruling that they didn't have to be physically circumcised. It says, to whom, in verse 5, we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the good tidings might continue with you, but from those who were reputed to be somewhat, whatever they were, it makes no matter to me, Elohim accepts not man's person. They, I say, who were repute, imparted nothing to me, but contrariwise, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the good tidings of the uncircumcision, even as Peter, with the good tidings of the circumcision, speaking of the Jews, and he was speaking uncircumcision of the Gentiles. For he worked for Peter to the apostleship, to the circumcision worked for me also to the Gentiles. And when they perceived the grace that was given to me, Jacob and Cephas, or Peter, and John, they also were reputed to be pillars in the leadership, gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcision, to the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor, which very thing I was also zealous to do. But when Cephas, when Peter came to Antioch, I resisted him to the face, because he stood condemned. For before them certain came from Jacob, he ate with Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision, the Jews. And the rest of the Jews dissembled likewise with him. So what happened is that they pulled themselves back from the Gentiles. Like, you know, we can't eat with these people. They're unclean. Yet, Yahshua accepted them. Yahshua not only accepted them, he made them part of the body. They were brethren. So what Paul did is he told them, you know, this is not right. And it says, so much that even Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the good tidings, I said to Peter before all, if you being a Jew live as the Gentiles do and not as do the Jews, how do you compel the Gentiles to live as the Jews do? And this is what too many people want to do. They want to convert themselves to Judaism. And that's not what Yahshua was trying to get them to do. He wanted them to understand and serve him as the Messiah. Verse 15, it says, we being Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Yahshua the Messiah. Even we believed in the Messiah, Yahshua, that we might be justified by faith in the Messiah and not by the works of the law. Speaking of circumcision. Because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we sought to be justified in the Messiah, we ourselves were also found sinners, and is the Messiah a minister of sin? By no means. For if we build up again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to Yahweh. I have been impaled with the Messiah, and it is no longer that I that live, but the Messiah lives in me. And that life which is now, I now live, in the flesh I live in faith, the faith which is the Son of Yahweh, who loved me and gave himself up for me. And that's what Yahshua did for each one of us. He gave himself up for us. You understand? I do not make void the grace of Yahweh, for if righteousness is through the law, then the Messiah died for nothing. And we know that righteousness is of Yahweh. And it's not keeping of the commandments, but it's through faith, through the grace of Yahweh, that he gave us Yahshua the Messiah. Back over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire of trial among you, which comes upon you to prove you, as though a strange thing happened to you, but in so much as you are partakers of the Messiah's suffering. Rejoice that at the revelation of his glory, you may also rejoice with exceeding joy. If you were reproached for the name of the Messiah, you are blessed, because the glorious spirit of Yahweh rests on you. For let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or a meddler in other men's matters. But if a man suffer as a despised believer, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify Yahweh in name, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of Elohim. And if it is to begin first at us, what shall be the end of them that do not obey the good tidings of Yahweh? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, where shall the lawless and sinner appear? They won't, brethren. Therefore let them also that suffer according to the word of Yahweh commit their souls and well-doing to a faithful Creator. Turn over to Daniel chapter 12. We know Daniel was in the Babylonian captivity. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, who stands over the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to the same time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Is your name written in that book, brethren? And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they turn many right to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end, and many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Revelation 3, 1 to 6. Remember, that could have been me, is the title of this message. Each one of us has received a blessing from Yahweh. We just have to look and see things from a different perspective, as not only Nick, but the other young man that was born with no arms. They saw life, they see life totally different than most of us that are born with all of our appendages. We take things for granted every day. But we can't take Yahweh for granted, brethren. We cannot. In Revelation 3:1, it says, "And to the angel of the assembly in Sardis write, these things, says he, that has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you live and you are dead. You be watchful and establish the things that remain, which were ready to die, for I have found no works of yours perfected before my Elohim. Remember, therefore, how you have received and did hear, and keep it, and repent. If therefore you shall not watch, I will come as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall thus be arrayed with white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assembly." Revelation chapter 20. We'll start at verse 11. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead that were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found in the book of life, the lake of fire."
Conference muted.
"And if anyone was not found in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. As this Sabbath ends, we have one full day left to look at ourselves before the fast day, the feast day. Are we prepared for whatever judgment Almighty Yahweh is about to render on our behalf?" Our closing scripture is going to be taken from Jacob chapter 2. Jacob chapter 2. Remember, that could have been me. Each one of us can put ourselves in that phrase and say, that could have been me. Jacob chapter 2. We'll start at verse 14. It says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them not the things necessary to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead in itself. Yet the man will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that Elohim is one. You do well. The demons believe also and tremble. But will you know, O vain man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works, and that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see that faith worked with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of Yahweh. And you see that by works a man is justified, not only by faith. And in like manner was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, and that she received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, even so faith apart from works is dead. Brethren, each one of us can say, that could have been me. As we seek to be a part of the kingdom of Yahweh, we know that our time is very short, not only for the Day of Atonement, but our time is short for the kingdom of Yahweh, for Yahshua's second coming. All we can do right now is prepare ourselves and pray and ask Yahweh to forgive us for anything that he finds unseemly within us. As Daniel prayed, as King Solomon prayed, as Yahshua prayed, his priestly prayer for each and every one of us. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of us as we seek to perfect our lives so that we can be in that kingdom when Yahshua returns. If you'd all rise with me at this time, we'll have a closing prayer. Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank you, and we ask, Father, that your word would have free course in us, that you would touch our lives, and that you would correct us, Father. But in measure, you know what we have within us. You know our hearts, Father, and we ask that you would cleanse each one of us as we seek to be at one with you on this Day of Atonement, which is soon coming. Forgive us, Father, for any sins that we've committed against you or our brethren. And we ask, Father, that you would forgive us and that we would forgive others that may have sinned against us. So help us, Father, to do that which is right in your sight, to overcome this world and Satan the devil. Help us to put into practice the things that you've shown us in your word so that we can be ready when Yahshua returns. We ask all these favors and blessings. In your Son, Yahshua the Messiah's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. Our closing song is going to be taken from I'm going to pass those out. We're going to sing, Be Unto Your Name.